You heard that scripture from Psalm 107, and I want to take you back to the very, very beginning of the psalm, where it said this. It said there was an exhortation, and I talked about that in the first message. There was an exhortation that the psalmist gives you, and this is it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. And what he said, what is it that we're supposed to say? Thank you, Lord. Thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. That's what we need to be saying, the redeemed that he has gathered. Now, in verse 3, it talks about where he gathered them. He gathered them from everywhere, from the north and the south and the east and the west. Now, the very interesting thing about that word south, it means the word roar. And it's a watery roar. It's the roar of the sea. It's the roar of the ocean. And I don't know how that worked out, but it's like down there where the roar of the ocean is, down south or something like that. That's how it was. So that word is very interesting, that it means the sea roar. It means something like that. Well, that's what we're going to talk about, because in this psalm about gratitude, now the whole psalm series is about gratitude for the ways that God delivers us out of our troubles when we cry out to Him. We have seen how God is the God of the desert, and He's the God of the prison, and He's the God of melancholy, but He's also here the God of the storm. He's the God of the storm. Now, why does God let us get ourselves in these messes, these terrible trials and things that we bring on ourselves? We bring them on ourselves most of the time. But why does He allow that to happen, these messes of life? And the short-term answer is what I shared earlier. Faith's testimony becomes clearest in the midst of life's storms. That's a short answer for that. But a long-term answer is that the calm that our hearts desire, the desired haven that was in this passage, the desired haven that we long for, that peace that we long for, that is actually what we really desire, what we really long for, is heavenly peace. We want that heavenly peace here now, and of course we're looking forward to it, that heavenly peace in the hereafter. And so we only come to that peace by understanding something, and that is the sovereignty of God. You've heard that big term, sovereignty of God. What does that mean? It means He rules over everything. He is sovereign. Now, nature itself is a great teacher about God's sovereignty, a great teacher about God's greatness. And we look in verse 23 and 24, it says, and I'm going to read it in the King James Version because I sort of liked that when I first read this long years ago. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. Years ago, I found this book. I was actually in Youth with a Mission up in Montreal. I remember the day I found that book, and I pulled it. I said, wow, this is an interesting book. I think I'll read it. It was Rachel Carson's book, The Sea Around Us. How many have read that book? It was a bestseller back in its day. Okay, and Rachel Carson, who was a marine biologist, and she was a very great scientist, and she wrote several books, but she wasn't necessarily a believer. I don't think she was a believer at all. But her book was fascinating because of what it revealed about what's under the surface of the ocean. There's so many things under the surface, the sea around us. Now, two things amazed me about that book. First of all, what amazed me were the awesome works of the Lord, the wonders in the deep. That's what was the first thing that amazed me. And the second thing that amazed me was the blindness of some scientists who cannot see the hand of God behind those wonders. That was an amazing thing to me as well. Life is often like the sea. It has wonders to reveal. But going down to the sea in ships to do business is risky business. Why? Because sometimes it starts out with smooth sailing, but that's not how it ends up. Starts out with smooth sailing, but there can be stormy seas that can swallow the ship, cargo, and crew. Isn't that true? That's really true. So it's risky business going down to the sea in ships. And if we have failed to praise our Maker or come and call upon our Maker just because we've seen His marvels in marine biology, you know, we've failed to do it. We've looked at them and say, ooh, ah, they're so beautiful. If you go down to the Monterey Aquarium and look at those things, man, you're just like, whoa, look at God. I mean, I'm saying, look at God do this. And other people are saying, look what happened by chance. It's just sort of evolutionary chance came into the being. Look at all these beautiful things. Well, anyway, if you fail to acknowledge the Maker of these beautiful marvels in nature, you get another chance. You get another chance to acknowledge God as God of the storm. You get your second chance. God of the storm. The Maker of this marine biology so beautiful is also the God of the storm. Now, God is sovereign. He has rulership. He is sovereign as the regulator of life's storms. He is sovereign. No storm take Him by surprise. He actually is behind a lot of the storms in life. And it says in verse 25, "For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves." God spoke that storm into existence that these sailors are experiencing. And you know, the funny thing is that the same elements in the business, the common business of life, these same elements that we're familiar with, they suddenly can become the tempest that threatens us, the tempest that threatens to ruin life. And I'm thinking about different areas of life, like health or money or relationships or travel. You know, just travel. I was going on a vacation, a beautiful vacation, and we had a crash, and you know, things that happen in those things when travel plans go wrong. The highways of life, and they're just normal highways. These are places that we go on normally. The highways of life that are common to us can become the high waves. That's what these are. That's what the word says, high waves of the storm. And the same thing, that's how the ship goes through those waves to get to where it's going. But those waves can also become the storm. Now, contemplating God's sovereignty, contemplating, thinking about it, meditating on the fact that God is in control, God is the ruler over the sea of life. When we contemplate that, it ought to bring us peace and security, peace of mind. His infinite love is informed by His infinite wisdom. I mean, His actions are good. God is good. And He always does the right thing. So in the midst of life's business ventures, you know, we're out there doing our normal thing. In the midst of all that daily business of life, there must be a divine purpose. There must be a divine purpose behind our having to weather the tempests of life. When we have to go through the tempests of life and storms of life. Now, in the stormy ups and downs of life, we can lose courage. We might have started out with great courage, but we can lose the courage that we started out with in the ups and downs of life. And here's what it says, it describes this perfectly in verse 26. They mounted up to the heaven and went down to the depths. You know, you can just see this ship. I don't know if you've ever seen these movies where they actually have a filming of being on a real bad storm where they go really, really high up and you can see around everywhere, and all of a sudden you go down and the water is way above you. It's like you are, oh my goodness, and then all of a sudden you're back up again. That's why people lose everything. Get sick. Well, they mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. I remember my first roller coaster ride on Santa Cruz Boardwalk. I remember that to this day. I can remember every detail of it. My dad gets these tickets. We get into this thing, and I'm ready for this. I really hold on to the bar. All of a sudden, down we go in this back tunnel, you know, and all of a sudden, up. Oh, it's okay. Okay, we're safe. We're going up. And then I look down and no, we're going to the highest one. And after that, it's all roller coaster. You're coasting. And you're going from this one thing up and you're just rolling down these things, up and down, going quickly this way, that way. And you know what? I was holding on with everything I had to that bar. And with my jaw like this, I was looking over at my desk like, yeah, I'm enjoying this. This is really great. I was all feigning a smile. Well, I feigned it so well that as we rolled in, to my relief, we rolled in to the thing. And my dad says, oh, you like that? He hands two more tickets to the conductor and off we go again. Oh, my goodness. The ups and downs of life. Oh, my goodness. Our courage melts away. The twists and turns of life. In those twists and turns, we can lose control. We can lose our balance. For our needs for handling, we have to have control. We have to have balance to handle our life. We can lose it in these twists and turns. It says in verse 27, they reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. They had come to their limit. They were at their wits' end. They were almost out of their mind. They were right at the end of being out of their mind. And you know, our perspective can be lost. Our perspective in life can be lost whether we're drunk with success or we're drunk in distress, you know? And people sometimes do lose their perspectives when they get inebriated. When they get inebriated with things that just take away their control and their balance. Faith in these contexts, in the context of the storm. Faith either sinks or swims. That's the thing. It either sinks or swims in the midst of the tempestuous seas of life. But whether we're just on a rough ride, you know, just on a temporary rough ride, or whether this is the last voyage of our lifetime. And you know, that could be the case in many times. The storms that we go through could be the last storm, and it could be the one that ends our life. True faith in the midst of that. True faith is clearest in the midst of that storm. That's when faith really shines. And our cry will be heard. You know, sometimes it's to take us home. But other times it's to save us out of those storms. But our cry will be heard when we are supplicating to the God of the storm. Not just looking to, I'll throw over the cargo. We'll tie down this, we'll do this, we'll put ropes under the boat to keep it from breaking up, or whatever, you know. Whatever they did in the old days when they had those sinking ships. But supplicating the God of storm, that's what God is trying to bring us to. He's trying to get us to focus on Him, because He is the source of our help. Fair weather prayer, you know. Fair weather praying. Most of our prayers are fair weather prayers, aren't they? Most of our praying seems to be fair weather prayers, and there can be very lazy prayers. You know, Israel, so blessed. Israel was so blessed. But you read the Old Testament, what is it? Israel is getting lax spiritually in their time of plenty. When they were doing really well, what did? They forgot God. They didn't pray. They were lazy in their prayer life. And then there's some knees that will not bow down to God. There are some knees that will not kneel to God in the calm, but boy, they do in the storm. They kneel down in the storm and pray. Verse 28, then they cried out to the Lord, where? In their trouble. That's when they cried out to the Lord. The prodigal, the proud prodigal, had to dine with a swine, didn't he, before he cried out. Haughty Hagar, she was also proud. She had to be deserted in the desert before she cried out unto the Lord. Jonah, asleep in the ship, he had to wake up in a whale's belly to cry out to the Lord. I don't know if you know the story of Mad Manasseh, the terrible king of Israel that did so many awful things. He had to be bound in Babylon to cry out to the Lord. When do we cry out to the Lord with the most vigor? When? Isn't it in the storm? It's in the hard times. Only the afflicted and the frightened sheep flee to the shepherd, the healing shepherd who puts them in the flock and protects the shepherd of our souls. That's what Jesus is called, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And he brings them out of distress. That's the way we get out of the distress. Even if it's just the heart, and the storm is still raging around us, but our heart has been out of the distress. Our desperate cry to the Lord is a cry to a sovereign God. He's in control. He's the one that really has control. He rules over the noisy sea and the wind that blows on the sea that stirs up the tempest. And it says in verse 29, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. God, who created the sea, can still it with a word. And then when Jesus, who was God, become flesh and became a man, he did the same thing. Listen to this little story, and we've heard this before, Mark chapter 4. When they were on a storm, and the disciples were on the sea, and it was really stormy, they were afraid, all of them were scared. They were where these people were at. They were at their wit's end. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified. Now they were more terrified about what just happened. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Who is that? It's God in the flesh. It's God incarnate. Now, that same God can quiet the human heart that is on the verge of disaster. On the verge of disaster, facing the end of life. Those who survived, there were just a few survivors of the sinking of the London back in 1886. I think it was like almost 300 people went down in that ship. And they said that at the end, when everyone was facing death and the captain said, "It's over, there's no way, your prayers won't be heard." They told how Reverend Daniel Draper, he happened to be a Wesleyan Methodist minister, he calmed down and comforted those who were soon to perish. And here's what they said. He was recommending that the pilot by whom all might arrive safely at the port of heaven. That's who he was recommending to them at that point in their lives. And they calmly went down with the ship. And you know something? This world promises many things that are like calm havens of peace. They don't turn out to be, but they promise those things. Every politician promises those things. And 4 years later, we know he was not telling the truth. But only God can bring us to the desired haven, to that peace and serenity that we long for. Only God can bring us there. And we must call out to him. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. You know, trying to sail to the safe harbor, without the pilot of peace, it doesn't work. It fails to bring us to the serenity that we need in this life, and what we hope for. The serenity that we hope for in the life to come in heavenly life, that haven, that true haven of rest in heaven. Faith's testimony, our testimony of faith, is clearest when we have been through the storm and God has delivered us out of that storm. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people. This right here is the assembly of the people. This is why sharing is so important. When God has been with you during the week, as Betty shared today, he's been with you during the week, then say so. If you've had a hard time and God brought you through, then say so. Because our public testimony of thanksgiving is the testimony that we offer It points others. It points others to the God who can help them find their way out of the storm. It points others to call upon the God of the storm for deliverance. I read that poem. That's part of the We Have an Anchor. Such a great poem. But I want to close with this poem. This is written by out of a testimony, but he wrote it into a poem. His name is Elijah Fenton, and I don't know what year he wrote this, but it was way back. And it's called A Storm and Calm at Sea. With trembling faith, with breathless prayer, I on my God relied, as billow unto billow called, and deep to deep replied. Now we rose high, like a leap on high, we touched touched the solid ground, while each pale seaman gazed on each in moveless horror bound. Then heartfelt cries were raised to heaven, undrowned by ocean's roar, and they for mercy loudly prayed who had never prayed before. And mercy spake in low, small voice, "Ye waters, peace, be still." And billows sunk and winds were hushed, obedient to his will. And now one wide expanse of green, save where a silvery light of moonlight marked the angel's path who guarded us by night. Oh, happy hour when all the storms of earth shall silent be, and our glad souls beyond those stars shall mount, O Lord, with thee. You know, we're not looking for absolute peace here on the earth, are we? And that's not what these sailors got, getting through to their desired haven, because next year they're on another sea voyage, right? And every day is a new day, isn't it? And there are storms that come. But let me tell you, the God of the storm is sovereign over them, and our faith is in Him. And I'm closing this whole series again with this verse from the end of the psalm. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this psalm. It's something we can go back to again and again, seeing how you deliver us out of the different stresses of life, the different problems, the prisons, the melancholy, the deserts, the storms, because you are God of all of them. You are sovereign over all of them. We call out to you, Lord God, in faith. And Lord, we thank you. We render thanksgiving to you with gratitude in our hearts, with praise upon our lips. We render thanksgiving to you for all that you have done for us. Take us through the rest of life's journey with this attitude, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.